psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson, the voice you trust for the family you love.
To reach out to children that have absolutely nothing and to provide for them, and I mean, that's God's word.
You ought to be asking the question, is this true or is this just what I was taught?
Remember that these men and women in prisons all around the world are human beings. Mm-hmm. God loves them.
This is Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, along with Ryan Dobson and Luann Crane.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson. And before we begin, Doctor, someone has a message for you.
Happy Father's Day from your one and only daughter.
Oh, man, that is neat.
We're glad to have Danae Dobson with us here again, Doctor.
Well, it's such a pleasure to have Danae here. She's staying with us for a few days, and that gave me an opportunity to invite her to come in for a couple of broadcasts last time and now this time, talking about bringing up girls, which she just now read, and talking particularly about the father-daughter relationship, which is so critical. It's one of the major themes in my book. And Danae, I'm so proud of you, and it'll be a pleasure to get into some of the recollections and memories and reminiscences that you and I share.
Oh, likewise for me. I'm just thrilled to be here and have a chance to talk to you about something that's near and dear to my heart.
Now, let me tell you what I have in mind for today. I have brought something with me into the studio today that you will be very familiar with because it is an intimate description of my relationship with you when you were 4 years old. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it was written on the occasion of your fourth birthday. And I've never read it to anybody outside our family before. I mean, this is the inner lore. This is almost too personal to read. But is it okay, Danae, if I do that?
I know exactly what you're going to read. I have a copy of it myself. And please, I would love for everybody to be blessed by your words.
Well, this is titled, To Danae on the Occasion of Your Fourth Birthday. I said, it will be many years before your developing mind and soul will grasp the impact of what I'm about to write in this letter. But I must not wait any longer to say it. One of life's saddest mistakes occurs when loved ones never find the appropriate time or opportunity to express the warmth and tenderness that they share. Today, we celebrate your fourth birthday. I have a new awareness of the brevity of this human episode. God has given us no guarantee of longevity. So will you listen, in the fullness of time, to your dad's feeble attempts to express the inexpressible? The story of your life shares its origin with the creation of the universe. In the beginning, God. Your mother and I asked him for a child, and he sent us an angel. Our introduction, yours and mine, came when you were just 30 minutes old. The attending physician sent his nurse to get me, and I saw you in the delivery room incubator. I examined you very carefully for any abnormalities or flaws. I found none. As you must know by now, all newborns look a little unprepared to make a go of life, and you were somewhat scrunched for a day or two. Your hair was strawberry blonde, although you had very little of it. I wanted a little girl, and I was very pleased by your gender. I stood looking down into your tiny face, and I felt the awesome responsibilities of parenthood. I tried to get some conversation from your mother, but she was much too sleepy to talk. I rushed out to a phone, it was 4 a.m., to give the news to a waiting, although likewise sleepy, world. On your first day home from the hospital, at only 4 days of age, you responded to our baby talk with an undeniable smile. That grin has been a perpetual symbol of the happiness you have shown. Your delightful little personality began to emerge as the days passed in weeks. You were the essence of happiness, contentment, security, and health. You allowed any stranger to pick you up, although you always came to your dad when he offered the opportunity. What a happy baby, they said. Yes, you are a charmer, little Dene, and you seem to know it. In spite of my previous disinterest in babies, you had me hopelessly hooked by the end of your first month. You were my toy. Your mother did all the work, and I merely enjoyed the pleasure of your company. From the early days, everything in your world seemed to interest you. You were never a passive prisoner of your undeveloped body. I will not soon forget the day I stood in the doorway of your nursery, looking across the top of your crib. I could not see you. I was gazing at the multicolored mobile which hung above your head. Then I saw two unsteady hands straining for control, slowly extend and grasp the red rabbit which dangled from the frame. That was your first deliberate reach. In the months that followed, you proceeded to examine all available ingredients in our household. When you were 9 months old, I saw you stoop for 5 full minutes in a detailed exploration of the dishwasher knob. You wanted to know, little Dene, and that made me happy. The words came quickly in the months that followed. You were easy to challenge. Your mom was an unbelievable teacher, making an instructional lesson out of each event and every encounter. You blossomed like a rosebud. Your red hair was so beautiful that we could not walk through a store without being stopped by admirers. Even other children seemed to love you. Your personality, your happiness, your intelligence, your warmth. These were felt by everyone coming to know you. You always had a special place in my heart. I called you Dean Baber, although I don't know why. You called me Little Dadder with similar logic. You would crawl up in my lap and snuggle down while I watched a football game on television. I remember one Saturday that you spent 4 hours in perfect contentment playing on my lap. It was during this period of intense affection that I caused an accident that hurt you, but the anguish I experienced was much greater than the discomfort you felt. It was Sunday afternoon. You had asked me to take you bike riding, so I attached a small seat to the middle bar on my bicycle. Unfortunately, I put the seat too far forward. You sat on the little seat, and I pedaled off down the street. At the moment when our speed reached a peak, you thrust your foot into the front wheel spokes. The entire forward motion of the bike and its riders locked on your foot, and we were both slammed to the pavement. I pulled myself up and gathered you to me. There, crumpled in my arms, was my... My arms was my little girl whom I had hurt. Your foot was chewed and swollen and appeared to be broken. Your shoe and sock were ruined. Your face was scratched and bleeding. You melted to my chest and sobbed, and I felt immeasurable pity and remorse. How did this happen? How could I have hurt my tender child? Your recovery was immediate, but the emotion of that event has not disappeared. From that point, I was terribly vulnerable to the thought of hurt or pain coming to you. I still am. The world is filled with disaster, with pain, with heartache. I walk through the waiting room of Children's Hospital, and I see the drawn faces of worried parents. On their laps sit twisted, broken children, some mentally retarded, some cancerous, some blind. The children do not know why they suffer. Their parents blame themselves. Solutions seem non-existent. I asked one parent how she had tolerated the 12 years since her cerebral palsied child was born. She said, "I cry a little, and I laugh a little, and I pray a little, and I curse a little." I thank God daily that you have not experienced such crushing pain. But life's books are not closed. Pain will come to you too, and I must help you brace for it. There will be times when you will be laughed at by others. You will feel lonely and rejected. You will fail in some things that are important to you. You will cry in the midnight hours. I wish that I could stand like a mighty shield to protect you from life's sting. Perhaps this is why I hate to see you growing up so fast. The older you get, the less I can contribute to your security. Yet I must prepare you as best I can and then let you stand alone, as everyone must. Someone wrote, "If you love something, set it free. If it comes back to you, then it's yours. If it doesn't, then it never was yours in the first place. Thus, the time will come soon for me to let you go. Happy birthday, little child. I wish this day could last, but it too will soon rush into history. Someday when you read this letter, I hope you will comprehend the love of your father for his baby girl on the occasion of her fourth birthday. My life has been enriched by the privilege of being your dad. May God grant me the wisdom needed to guide your footsteps during these fleeting years. Your father."
That is so beautiful, Dad. I've got tears just pouring down my cheeks. I just couldn't keep from crying as you were reading it. It was just so tender, especially when you described the experience of the accident. And I remember that very clearly. I remember you picking me up, and I remember my bloody sock and shoe, and I remember you wrapping me up and rushing me back into the house and treating my injuries, and then we rushed off to the hospital. And that memory is very fresh in my mind.
You know how old you were when that happened, Danae?
3?
18 months.
Oh.
And you remember it today.
Yes, I do.
You know, what children experience in those early days seem to be forgotten, but they're locked in there. They still have an influence. And that's why they're worth everything it costs us to pour our lives into them.
And I'm sure that there are fathers who were listening to that letter that you read, and they could just relate to everything that you were sharing about your love for me and the enormous responsibility you felt in parenting me, and how you wanted to shield me from the pain that the world was going to throw at me. What parent can't resonate with that? Mm-hmm. Luann, I'm sure you can as a mother of four.
Mm-hmm. Well, Doctor, even hearing you read that reminds me of letters I got from my father in college. Yeah. And there's a man listening who says, "Oh, but I'm not nearly that eloquent, Doctor. I mean, you're a writer and a speaker." And that's not the importance. The importance to me is that my dad sent it to me. I don't even remember exactly what it said, but I remember that my dad took the time to write me. I saved those. I threw away everything else. I saved those letters from my dad.
Danae, you still have a lot of things that I have written to you, don't you?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I've been cleaning out my storage closet in the basement these past couple months, little by little, and just have boxes of a lot of cards that should have been thrown out from other people many years ago. So I've been having fun collecting a big pile and dumping it. But of course, everything from you, Dad, has been saved and will continue to be.
Luann, Danae will recognize this too. Probably 6, 8 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, I had a dream of a little red bird that was flying around. And I reached down and picked up the little red bird, and I held it very close to my cheek and looked at the red bird. And then I realized that the red bird was Danae. It was an expression of love for her. I felt that for her since she was born. One of the reasons that I sat down to write this is I didn't want to forget it. I didn't want to lose it. You know, the pace of living today just robs you of the reflection that's stated in this letter, and I didn't want to lose it, and I haven't because it is in writing.
And you wrote that on the occasion of her fourth birthday. I mean, when you're talking about toddlerhood and preschoolers, those are the busy days. You've got to stop and mark them now before they're gone.
Well, I've been writing them to her ever since. Mm. And Luann, at the end of the program last time, we admitted that we were a little flowery in our relationship. There are points of disagreement. Mm. There are points of conflict. Even with this kind of love, there are moments when you're irritated with each other. That is the human condition. That's the way it is. But children are resilient, and parents can connect again and can compensate and can overcome the things that occur. And we also have an opportunity to talk about them. Now, we were talking about the three T's of father-daughter relationships that allow you to build a lasting relationship during the childhood years and throughout life. And the first one was talk. And Danae, I think we ought to share the fact that you and I had a point of conflict not too long ago, which doesn't belie the love that we're talking about, but it illustrates what I'm trying to say now. What do you do when you're hurt with one another and I accidentally hurt you? Now, we're not going to go into the...
We're not?
Not going to go into the details because it won't make me look good, you know. But that will remain personal. But I think we should explain what happened, and if it won't invade your privacy too much, share what you can and will about that time.
I'd be happy to share about it because I think it will be useful to especially the dads who are listening. I got hurt with you a while back over a few circumstances that were all related to the same thing, and it just continued to fester and build. And I just really didn't want to talk about it directly. And I know that you were aware that there was something wrong because you sensed that I had pulled back from you emotionally. But I just didn't want to get into it. And so I had a very trusted friend who knew that I was going through this. And she said, you really ought to set aside some time where you and your dad can sit down and talk this through, because a lot of times if you don't talk about the things that are bothering you, whether it's a friend or a parent or a romantic relationship, resentment can build. Mm. And that often happens. So I agreed to do that, and I came to you, Dad, as you'll recall, and I asked you if we could have a heart-to-heart talk, and you agreed. And it just went so well. I was able to really just pour out my heart. I brought up those experiences that had happened that I found to be hurtful. And you just let me talk. You just listened, which was the best thing that you could have done. And then when I finished talking, you asked for my forgiveness. You said that you were sorry. And ever since then, you have made a commitment to not make those mistakes again. And I just wanted to remind you again that I appreciated that.
Well, what happened between you and me, Danae, in that instance was very eye-opening for me. I had no idea that this thing had developed between us, had become so significant in your life, Danae. And because you were willing to talk about it and come and share what you were feeling, we were able to deal with it and get beyond it. And it wound up with an apology that was very genuine. I had hurt you accidentally, but I had hurt you nonetheless. But it ended with a hug and a better understanding of one another, even as you're grown now.
Yes. And, you know, as you were sharing that, I'm reminded of something in your book. One of the girls that you were interviewing was talking about how her dad used to tease her, pinch her in the side, tell her that she needed to lose weight, compared her to girls in the media. And he didn't really realize that that was such a big deal to her, but it actually caused her to develop an eating disorder. And it got to the point where she just wasn't eating anything because she wanted to please her dad. And so she said that it affected her relationship with Christ, and it made her question what it meant to have a Heavenly Father who really loved her. So you asked her, as I recall, if she ever sat down and told her father how she felt. And she said that she did. She said that he actually had written a letter to her, and he told her how sorry he was. He didn't realize what a negative impact his comments had had on her. So she said it had been really good. The outcome had resulted in her being able to forgive him and to acknowledge Christ as her Heavenly Father.
Well, Lou Anne, this is the bottom line for our even talking about this issue, is that there will be moments like this. And it's very important that both generations are willing to sit down and talk through the different perspectives and come to an understanding. It's true for husbands and wives, and it's certainly true for fathers and daughters as well. Daughters are sensitive creatures. They are, more so than sons typically, and they have deep feelings about everything, mostly about words. Words are very powerful. Have you thought about the fact that God, the creator of the universe, identified himself with the word? In John chapter 1, verse 1, we read, "In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God." That is how powerful words can be. And that's an understatement, obviously. And they can be uttered by us flawed human beings almost thoughtlessly. And yet they can stay alive. They can continue to live in the heart and mind of another person for a lifetime. Haven't you heard grown people say, "I'll never forget the day my dad said this about me." And it's been maybe 40 years, and it's still remembered. You have to be very, very careful. You have to think before you speak, and not to damage the spirit of your girls, especially. They and their mothers are both designed to take the words that you say very seriously and literally. And again, that spirit can be deeply wounded by casual remarks that may not even have been intended. As that occurred between Danae and me. And when I realized it, I repented of it. And so I'm suggesting that a father needs to be open to whatever his daughter needs to say to him.
It's kind of that other side of the value of talk, which, as we've said, is the first T of the three T's of relationships between dads and daughters. Part of that talk might sometimes require some reconciliation, some repentance, and some very tender conversation.
And while we're on the subject, there is another issue here that we need to reconcile, Dad.
Oh, come on,
It has to do with that story that you shared in your book about the homeless dog that we found on our family car trip.
Oh, yeah, I heard
I still have a bone to pick with you about that, and this seems as good a time as ever to start picking.
Well, you better do it quickly because we're almost out of time. But explain what happened. We'd stopped at a service station to get gasoline, and for you and your mom to do whatever you do. And there was a little dog that
little
came
dog
out.
That just bonded to us immediately and was so starved for love. He was just vying for attention. And so I really fell in love with this little dog. And it surprised me how he responded when we got ready to leave, though, because he thought he was going with us. And you kind of shoot him away. And so we piled in the car, and he sat there looking at us for a while. And as we took off and drove down the highway, he started chasing our vehicle. And it just broke my heart, and you wouldn't stop.
I said in the book, you are still ticked about that.
It sounds like she is.
Yes, so. I am.
But honestly, it was very sad because that service station was out in the middle of nowhere. Yeah. The dog obviously didn't have a home. It was nearly dark. And he was so starved for affection that he adopted us immediately. But we couldn't take a dog with us.
Well, that could have been debated. Where there's a will, there's a way.
We already had a beautiful dog.
Could have had a second one.
We're not going to settle this here, I don't think.
I'm afraid this one's not going to get
resolved. Oh, look
resolved.
At the time.
Well, you know what, Luann? We set out to talk about the three T's of father-daughter relationships. We only got the one in 2 days.
We did. Well, let's talk, so that was appropriate.
We can ask Danae to come back to Colorado Springs, and we can deal with the other two.
Let's do. We'll do that in the next few weeks. Shall we do that tonight?
That would be great. Thanks, Luann.
And in the meantime, they can get the book and read about some of these things. Bringing Up Girls is the book. It's been on the New York Times bestseller list almost since it came out. And that's a good thing.
Well, for very good reason, Doctor. It is chock full. I think there's 22 chapters on everything you can imagine parenting girls. We highly recommend it. It's available, of course, at myfamilytalk.com.
Danae, thanks for being with us. It was fun reminiscing.
It's always fun for me too, Dad. And I'm going to wipe my eyes and go get something to eat.
Thanks,
I love
Danae.
You, babe.
Love you too.